It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Well, hello. Welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us. We have another show to conduct, and that means that we need to get to this very important Fastest Five thing with Mr. Scott Connor. Oops, I just did the intro.
The Fastest 5 Minutes in Finance with Scott Connor.
What do you think, Scott?
Right to it, huh?
Yeah, get right to it. You know, people just, they don't want to hear the, they don't eat the salad, they don't want to eat the appetizers. Just want to get just right to the meat and potatoes.
All right. Well, here I go.
I'm not calling you potato, but go ahead.
I know. I hear you. Here I go. The Dow on Wednesday's trade, much, much better than Monday's trade and Tuesday's trade. Dow up 89 points to close at 12,805, still inside of 13,000, but a better day today for a couple reasons we'll talk about in a second here. Pretty strong day on the NASDAQ, up 25 points. S&P up 10 points. Gold basically flat. Down $1.70. Oil up $1.60 at 102. We're going to see oil inside of $100 very soon, I think. And 10's closed at 203. 203 and, yield on the 10-year.
Okay. All right. That's a little low. Yeah, that's good. So the oil thing, is that all about just the Iranians agreeing, the Iranian government, Iranian regime, they call it, just being willing to come back to the table and talk?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think there's still a lot of risk premium in there. Everything that I'm able to read from the analyst community says the true value of a barrel of oil is probably $87 or so, and everything above that is risk premium. There will never be a time that there is no risk premium, but the risk premium right now is still pretty high.
$20 or so.
Yeah, and you know, it's not just Iran. You worry about what's happening with Egyptian elections, and you know, there's always something to be worried about, that's for sure.
Well, you've got an alternative for us, don't you?
Well, we can talk a little bit about natural gas. Natural gas futures closed on Wednesday inside of $2, which is a very, very, very rare event. Natural gas prices just have just been plunging, particularly this year. The sub $2 level, first time since January of 2002. A couple of real obvious reasons for it. First, they've had a pretty warm winter, so demand has been low. And with new technology to get it out of the ground, there's more supply. So lower demand and higher supply means lower prices.
So how do we get to the point where we can run your car on it?
Well, you know, on CNBC the other day, they actually converted, they started in the morning, and by about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they had converted a brand new Ford pickup truck to natural gas. Now, you can fill it with, if you have a gas line that comes into your stove, you can fill it that way. You have to compress it, and it takes 4 or 5 hours to do it.
Now, in the conventional terms, and this is just my lack of knowledge on the technology here, is it literally the same stuff I use for cooking my sausage on the grill with?
Yeah, it's
propane.
But the way they fill it is not on the Blue Rhino tanks. It's from the, you know, most utilities, particularly where I grew up north, had gas stoves instead of electric stoves.
So is it
so
more
it's
compressed?
That utility line. Well, you can just tap into that, and part of the filling process for the truck is to compress it.
Okay.
So it takes a long time to fill it, 4 or 5 or 6 hours, but you just do
it overnight, right?
The conversion kit costs, you know, $6,000 to $8,000 or so. But your price per gallon on fuel is about 80 cents. So it pays for itself pretty quickly.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah, so I think we're going to see more and more and more of that. You know, it's not going to be immediate, but we're going to start to see more of that.
Wouldn't that be a hoot if we could get to where we did all of our, eventually all vehicles ran on natural gas?
I mean,
or a big percentage, or at least the big trucks and stuff that gets 3 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, well, you figure if the difference between, let's call it $4 a gallon and 80 cents a gallon, if all that money went into spending other parts of the economy.
Oh, that's enormous.
Boy, we'd be growing and rocking and rolling before you knew it.
And imagine if we had a little bit of sensible tax policy on top, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah, so pretty big news there on natural gas. I do think it's going to become a more and more important part of our transportation infrastructure. Fed released the Beige Book on Wednesday. The Beige Book is where they just basically go out to their regions and they ask,
hey, what do you think?
Yeah, what do you think?
That's
how's
why
it going,
it's beige, because you know, it's like beige wallpaper. Yeah, like, what do you think?
There's no number attached to it or anything like that. But basically, the Fed says that the economy continues to expand at a modest to moderate pace.
It's like that eyeglass exam. Better or worse? Better or worse?
That's right.
Can you go back number one again? Hold on. Better or worse?
Yeah, so slightly better. Business sentiment seems to be pretty good. Manufacturing sector seems to be doing fairly well. So overall, I think that gave the market a little bit of a boost. It came out, it's supposed to come out at 2 o'clock, but it came out a little early today on Wednesday. I didn't really understand why they did that. But also, speaking of economic releases, they're really tightening down on the security of the unemployment figure release. There's been some rumors that some folks are seeing it before the rest of us.
What a shock.
Yeah, I was shocked by that. So, I mean, there have been a couple of instances that have just, you know, just you see the futures spike 15 minutes before the number comes out, so you knew something was going on.
I assume somebody's just making a good, you know, just making a guess, right? But
yeah, not that big of a guess. So,
all right. Well, before you get to the rest of it, Scott, let's take a quick break, stay on track, and we'll be right back for more Scott Connor.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
We got time. Scott and I are talking about how quickly things go by, and we're wondering how long it's going to take to get on the natural gas. I said it just the other day. I started Holland Financial in 1997. Just the other day.
Just like that.
Yeah, that's it.
And here we are.
Here we are.
Lots of corporate news to talk about today. Banks were higher on Wednesday's trade. Financial services sector really has been quite good since October. You know, they went through the stress test. That helped quite a bit. Fed says they're going to tweak the stress test a little bit for the next round. But since then, things have been pretty good. Bank of America, a strong day on Wednesday after Guggenheim boosted its rating to a buy from a neutral. Bank of America hasn't been a buy anywhere in a long time. And Morgan Stanley was also up after Evercore Partners raised its price target to $20. So some good sentiment there in financial services.
Let me ask you a quick question on Bank of America. Is that including all of their stuff with, you know, Countrywide and Merrill Lynch?
Now,
and so that's all that's in there. And okay,
you think
they'll keep Merrill Lynch? You think they'll spin it off or sell it off?
I think they'll probably do either a tracking stock to spin it off and raise some capital. That would be my guess, because I don't think they want to sell it. But
they want to keep it, but they like to kind of break it out separately. Maybe get some additional funding.
And they could use the capital. So if they do a tracking stock of just that, they can sell the stock, get the money in, but they really haven't spun it off. It's still under their control and their brand and all that stuff.
I gotcha.
I told you yesterday about the CEO of Best Buy, who was no longer in his position. My prediction is that one of the next high-level CEOs that we see who no longer has a job is the CEO of Finnish phone maker Nokia, plunged to a 14-year low Wednesday after they lowered their quarterly outlook for devices and services, citing competitive industry dynamics, basically meaning that they are no longer competitive. The CEO made the brilliant decision of launching a new phone on Easter Sunday, That was the day they decided to launch it.
Okay.
And after it was launched, it was determined that it had pretty significant software bugs in it. So
that's just brilliant. Hey, you know, it's so funny. It was just the other day that Nokia was all the rage.
Yeah.
Because they had the early cell phones.
Yeah, I think Nokia will be this year's Research in Motion.
You know what? It's such a great example of why you've got to stay on the balls of your feet, why you've got to stay nimble, and you can never, ever sit back and say, okay, I'm all done. I got it.
Faster than ever now.
Things are adapting and changing. And I say that not just about stock and technology, but this is about your personal finances. I'm not talking to Scott right now. I'm talking to you, ladies and gentlemen out there listening to us. That you've got to stay on your toes and you have to remain nimble and pay attention. And if you are not managing your money yourself, which Scott, of course, will say, professional management, especially today, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look at how much the market has changed just in the last 2 days.
But you still got to pay attention, and you need to have an advisor that you trust and that you meet with on a regular basis. You don't just say, here you go, and never talk to them. All
yep.
right, go ahead.
So I think Nokia is this year's Research in Motion. That remains to be seen. Earnings season kicked off after Tuesday's market with Alcoa. This is going to sound odd, but 10 cents per share, down from 28 cents a share in the year earlier period, seen as very good news by analysts.
They were expecting it to be worse?
They were expecting it to be worse. Revenue was about the same. Revenue at $6 billion. Last year was $5.96 billion. But aluminum prices are off quite a bit over that time
period. So their margins
are
slimmer.
Well, they're slimmer, but the revenue stayed flat. So it's more volume.
Oh, okay.
But pretty good news there from Alcoa as they kicked off earnings season. And in Apple news today, Apple's in a little bit of hot water with the government. U.S. District Court in Manhattan.
Here we go.
Apple is being sued for an antitrust lawsuit that they were basically fixing prices of ebooks.
Okay, who are they fixing them with?
They're fixing them with publishers. And three of the publishers have settled.
With
the Justice Department.
Oh, okay. So they're the three that are going to give them what they need to go after Apple.
Yeah. So no comment from Apple, and certainly I don't know what happened, but it hit the news today. It didn't affect the stock very much. And basically the story is that, you know, Amazon was really kicking their tails in ebooks because they were launching bestsellers for $9.99 per book, which everybody recognized was a lost leader. They were losing money on it, but they were using it to sell Kindles. And Apple didn't like that, so they got engaged with some price fixing with the publishers to try to compete with that, and we'll have to see what happens, but it's going to court.
So here we go. This is exactly why, even though Apple's doing very well, and we hold it in our portfolios, as you know, Scott, this is why you don't load up and put everything into one company.
Yeah, it didn't affect the stock much today, but
well,
it
not
does,
yet. You never know.
Yeah, but it does show you that there is no company that is... that is beyond risk. Absolutely.
Yeah, there is no such thing as a
safe equity.
Yeah, exactly. The definition of a security, which equities are one of the types of securities, a stock is a type of security, and the definition of a security is risk of principal.
Yep, no question about it. Looking ahead to big week, we have some inflation numbers that come out later in the week, PPI and CPI, and also earnings season continues. Thursday, we get Google, which should be interesting, Rite Aid, which is a retailer. We also get on Friday, JP Morgan and Wells Fargo for a good look at how the big banks are faring.
Well, two things there real quick. Number one, inflation, what do you expect? Moderate?
I'm expecting pretty tame inflation, yeah.
Okay. What would you guess on an annualized basis? Three?
I don't even go
three
to three.
And a half?
I don't think so. Okay, I think probably 2.6, 2.7.
Okay. I'm going to say 3% on
CPI.
Yeah, total, all in CPI. And then financial services sector, you mentioned banks. Financial services sector continuing to look good?
Yeah, they since they got through the stress test, they've been looking pretty good. Actually seeing some credit parameters loosen up. Lots of credit cards.
You've been waiting
issued.
On that. You've
well,
been waiting on
it,
that.
It helps. I mean, that's what they sell. That's their product. And if they don't sell their product, it hurts margins. So I'm glad to see the loosening of the credit. If we start to see some real mortgage demand, not just refinance demand, I think that'll be a good thing. And if interest rates go up, which I read a very compelling report today that indicated a really good solid chance that tens would be at maybe 260 by the end of the year, that helps banks a lot.
Gives them more of a spread.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Scott. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
That's a load of bull.
Oh, what a load it is. Okay, here we are. Again, it won't go away. This Buffett rule, fuss budget tax thing that Warren Buffett and now the president is, it's all he's talking about in terms of how we fix our economy. We just need to raise taxes on people making $1 million or more a year. Problem solved, right? That's it. So I have a confession. I know this is going to come as an incredible shock to you, my listeners. I'm a fiscal conservative, okay? I told Lisa and Scott I was going to do that, and they both laughed at me and said, like, people don't already know that, David. Lisa's still laughing at me. Well, I just, you know, I try to be balanced, but you know what? I just have to say I'm conservative when it comes to fiscal policy and how we're smart with our money. And I think our elected officials should be stewards of the money, and they should be held to a standard of care in dealing with our money. It's our money. It's not their money. And they keep getting that misunderstood. It's not their money. And so I keep hearing this on and on and on about we've got to raise money. We got to raise taxes on those people and make sure they pay at least 30% tax bracket. And it drives me insane. And I hope it's frustrating you as much as it's frustrating me. And it's just article after article. And they keep using, every time the president speaks, and again, I understand he's trying to get reelected, but every time he talks, he uses this word fairness. And, you know, we shouldn't give tax breaks to people who make a bunch of money while we're asking middle class people who are barely getting by to be able to have to pay more in tax. And I realize that when people say fair, they mean different things. If I say to you, this is fair, I'm talking about equality. But when the president and his team of people that are involved with this talks about fairness, it's his and their view of fairness. It's subjective. So I think we got to try to work on getting this word fairness out of this discussion, and let's replace it with the proper word, which is equal. If somebody is paying 15% tax and they make $1 million, and somebody's making $100,000 and pay 15% tax, they're paying equal taxes percentage-wise. The guy making $1 million is still paying 10 times the tax. Equal, true equal taxation would be everybody would pay the same dollar amount. Now, nobody's asking for that. I think most people, even the most fiscally conservative people, are okay paying the same rate, but it's this notion that people who make more money should pay higher percentages is just really, I think it's ridiculous. So I went back and I looked at this. The research says that if the president and his, I'm going to call them conspirators because that's what they are, his conspirators that are trying to get the tax on people that make over $1 million, if they do that, it'll add about $5 billion, $5 billion with a B, to our tax revenue. Now, that's per year. And keep in mind that for 2012, our deficit that we're going to run, the government's going to bring in around $2.5 trillion in tax revenue. That's a lot of money. And they're going to have a budget of over $3.7, $3.8 trillion. So there's going to be $1.3 trillion in deficit. So by the time we get to the end of the year, we're going to have another $1 trillion in deficit added to our existing $15.5 trillion. I've got the debt clock running in the background here on my computer. What are we up to? $15,645 billion. And during the time I've talked on the show today, we'll add another $60 million in debt to our total U.S. national debt. But my point is that the solution to our problems as a country is to hit the people making over $1 million, and that's going to solve it. Well, $5 billion on a trillion is nothing. It's 0.5%. Now, ironically, I've made the joke out of Warren Buffett and the other billionaires that have whined that they don't pay enough in tax. And so I went and did an analysis and said, what if we just make them pay more in tax? And if we're going to have I can't say it without laughing. If we're going to have the millionaire tax where they pay, it basically will raise $5 billion in tax if they pay 30%. How about we do the fuss budget billionaire tax that I've talked about on previous shows, where these billionaires, all of them feel guilty for having more income and they feel like they should pay more tax. Well, then how about they pay, let's just take half of what they make in income. Let's take half. If Mr. Buffett and these other guys like Bill Gates, and there's a few others that President Obama is saying, right, they should pay more tax. So everybody should pay more tax. Well, if they think the millionaires should pay more tax at 30%, why don't we have them pay at 50% of what they make? Now that would raise $55 billion. It would raise 10 times the tax. If you really want to do this properly, Mr. Buffett and company, then let's go to a 50% tax on you billionaires. The truth is, we don't have a tax revenue problem here, ladies and gentlemen, in our country. Our problem is a spending problem. So despite the fact that even if we put in this millionaire's tax and they had to pay at least 30%, it's only a whopping $5 billion extra per year, and we got a $1 trillion deficit per year, and it's projected to continue that way. So the problem is not revenue. The problem is the spending. So what I would love to see, and I bet you agree with me on this, I'd love to see the energy that's being put into beating up the people that make more money, those evil 1%ers, or those evil top 10%ers, or those evil top 20%ers, or evil 50%ers. All that energy be put into actually making government more efficient and reducing our dependence on foreign oil, so we can pull back our military and not have to be the world's policeman to keep a stable world, because we need all that oil to get to us safely. We care a lot about what happens around the world because we need it to be stable for our own survival. So listen to this number. The top 50% of all taxpayers pay 98% of the tax. The bottom 50% pay 2%. So what we need is a simple tax code. Everybody pays 15%, no deductions. Whatever you get, you pay 15%. How's that sound? I think that makes sense to me. All right, I'm over on my break. Lisa's giving me this evil eye, but I'm going to take a quick break. We'll come back, and I want to talk about something that I've been asked about recently. Say, David, you need to talk about this on the radio show again. The threats to your financial and retirement security. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
This is your 2-minute warning.
All right, we're back. I hope you appreciate my thoughts on the taxation. We need an equal taxation, not this quote-unquote fair taxation. All right, the threats to your financial security. I've had somebody ask me the other day, David, talk about that. So I will talk about the threats to, and I have a whole chapter in my book, The Secrets to a Secure Retirement, talking about the threats to financial and retirement security. So let me talk a little bit about that. Probably the biggest one, and everybody learned this over the last several years, where we've had this period of time where you hear and you see either in the paper or on TV this concept called deleveraging. What in the world is deleveraging? Well, basically that's people getting rid of stuff so they can come up with cash. And where they've borrowed money and they've used that money to grow or build a business or to maintain a lifestyle. And so everybody's kind of, they're backing up, they're retracing their steps and they're going smaller. And so the reason they're doing that is they're needing cash. Well, cash is king. Cash is always king. Sometimes people will use the fancy term, kind of cute, to say you got to have dry powder. And what they mean by that is you need to have the ability to act on stuff. If there's an opportunity, there's foreclosure and you've been wanting to get into rental properties, well, you've got cash on hand. You might be able to buy that rental property and rent it out, whereas maybe lenders aren't really willing to lend or not the terms that you need. So cash is king. Cash is also king for addressing emergencies. And so not having enough cash on hand is one of the threats to your retirement security, because if you need cash and you have to liquidate your investments when the market's down, you might have to take, what, 70, 80 cents on the dollar? And that's just as painful. And or you might have to borrow at bad terms. Now, if you got a nice big fat line of credit you can pull on, that helps. But you still want to have some cash, because what if at the time you need that money, banks are changing lines of credit? You know, so that's an issue. Next threat, which of course is timely because we're coming up on tax day, IRS, you know, they don't really want you writing those checks to the IRS. They say Treasury Department, because that sounds a little kinder and gentler, right? That eases the pain. Why don't we just write the check to deficit reduction? All right, so poor tax planning, that's the next threat. Be careful. We pay enough in tax. Everybody, all kinds of taxation. Be careful when you are rolling your IRAs around or making changes with your 401k money. Get advice from an advisor, or make sure you got somebody advising you on how to roll that. You got to be careful not to inadvertently cause the whole IRA to be taxed. That would be really ugly, and that happens. And you know what? IRS doesn't really, they're not real good at taking the note that says, I'm sorry I did that. People have been taxed on their entire IRA, and it's brutal. So be careful with that. And other smart moves you can make, you know, we know capital gains could go up next year if they can't all get on the same page up there in Washington. Those 500 or so people that have such a large impact on our lives, 435 congressmen and women, another, well, there's House representatives, and another 100 senators. That's 535 people right there. So pay attention to what you can do with reducing your capital gains exposure maybe in the future. Maybe take some money off the table. Maybe take some gains at 15% or lower bracket. What else can you do? Another threat, and this has been cited in several recent studies I've seen in the paper, long-term care. Long-term care keeps going up. Scott and I were talking about inflation numbers earlier about what we expect. Let me tell you something. Long-term care has gone up every year since I've been tracking it. Last 15 years or so, I've been really paying attention to the cost of long-term care and the insurance, and it goes up every year. So that's something that you've got to address. If you have assets, you need to take a look at how to protect them. I don't mean to hide them. I mean to make sure you've insured yourself properly. And if you don't have any assets, well, then you need to make sure that you've got things lined up so that your spouse is okay. What else can I share with you on these threats? There's so many that I've got like 16 of them. Here's another one that really gets people is this whole rule of thumb. I've talked about this on other shows, taking too much money out of your account. You know, I did a study that looked at this whole 4-6% withdrawal rate that people say you can take out of your account and not run out. And I took 2000 through 2009. Do you remember that time period and how the market went down so much in 2000, 2001, and 2002. You know, we saw the market go down 9, 11, and 22%. You can't take money out of a portfolio that's invested in the market. All right, those are a couple of threats. I'll give you more on the next show we have. Thank you for being with me today.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.